So it's my great pleasure to welcome for the first time to Many Rivers Books and Tea, Andrea Freeman, poet, artist, naturalist, harpist, mystic. She did not bring a harp that I can see, unfortunately, but we will be listening to some great poetry. In her write-up for this event, there we go. We can put one on the one of the CDs, just for the tape here. We can put one of those CDs she did bring with her on our sound system. As poet William Carlos Williams so aptly expressed, it is difficult to get news from poems, yet men die miserably every day for lack of what is there. Poetry is a portal for higher consciousness. It transports the listener into deep remembrance and awakens the fire of the soul. It gives voice to what would otherwise be inexpressible. Using the mother tongue of rivers and stars, translated into words and the silence that holds them. The ancient Celts believed that there are sacred places where the veil thins between worlds. Poetry itself serves in this role. Quote, poetry lifts the veil from the hidden beauty of the world, observed Percy Bysshe Shelley. And with that, I will turn it over to Andrea. Please join me in welcoming Andrea Freeman.
Thank you very, very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I thank each of you for coming. And tonight's presentation is not going to be so much a talk. It's more going to be a concerto of poetry, or perhaps a waltz, if we're lucky. And I've selected an array of poems, each of which speaks to my heart and also gives voice to the wisdom, the deep knowing of my soul. So I hope that you'll enjoy the evening. To augment the quotes that were included in the intro, I would like to add a couple more. One by Lawrence Ferlinghetti, where he says, poetry can save the world by transforming consciousness. I am signaling you through the flames. The state of the world calls out for poetry to save it. Lucille Clifton, who is an American poet, died in 2010, wrote, poetry is a matter of life, not just a matter of language. And Jonas Mekas wrote, in the very end, civilizations perish because they listen to their politicians and not to their poets. Mm-hmm. And in these challenging times that we find ourselves alive in at present, during this period of the Great Turning, it's important to keep ourselves rooted to the awareness that there is much more to reality than just what the pundits are speaking over Fox News. So, oh, there's one more here. David White, in his poem Loaves and Fishes, wrote, this is not the age of information. This is not the age of information. Forget the news and the radio and the blurred screen. This is the time of loaves and fishes. People are hungry, and one good word is bread for a thousand. In the beginning was the word, the sound vibration with which the universe hummed itself into being, conjuring a multifarious array of beings to hum along, not in a humdrum sort of way either. The carabid beetle has determination and dignity as he carts bits of decaying leaves under his dark carapace across the damp dust, humming softly to himself. The shimmering leaves rustle and hum as the breeze blows through them. The bees hum, the seductive song of nectar to be tasted, and the satin-petaled flowers hum with colors and sweet scents to draw them near. The birds hum in warbles and trills, carols and cackles, whistles and drones, their vibratory tintinnabulation adding octaves to the collective hum. Insect wings whir, motors rumble, cicada spiracles open and close, grasshopper legs draw bow across string. Humpback whales troubadour the ladies-in-waiting with bardic hums of this year's epic tale. Dolphins giggle, piccolo and flute orchestral hums. Ocean waves spill onto shore and lap the foam from their humming lips. Clouds hum their way across the sky in billows and wisps as water droplets mingle in reunion after their long voyage to and from the sea, to and from the sea, to and from the sea. Stars hum light into being. Superstrings vibrate at the core of every particle, each layer in the nesting box, resonating its frequency like a call note to the universe of I am. The universe is continuing to hum itself into being in each fresh moment. We add to the awakening song with every beat of our heart, every susurration, every thought, word, and deed, every poem. The fog moistens my face, and the night wraps its arms around me, coaxing me to dream a sweeter dream. These words come as an echo. Humbly I hum, Alhamdulillah, Alhum. That is called Hum Poem. I wrote that.
Are you surfing?
I am one of those non-denominational Buddhist Sufi mystic people that embraces the essence and goodness out of all the traditions. So, for that one, yes.
At least the very ending.
Yes. So tonight's presentation is going to include selections from a multitude of different poets. And this is a short one by Rumi. The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds meet. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. And this is Hafez. I wish I could speak like music. I wish I could put the swaying splendor of the fields into words so that you could hold the truth against your body and dance. I am trying the best I can with this crude brush, the tongue, to cover you with light. I wish I could speak like divine music. I want to give you the sublime rhythms of this earth and the sky's limbs as they joyously spin and surrender against the divine's luminous breath. Hafez wants you to hold me against your precious body and dance, dance. Another Rumi. In your light, I learn how to love. In your beauty, how to make poems. You dance inside my chest where no one sees you. But sometimes I do. And that sight becomes this art. Pablo Neruda, when he first discovered poetry, wrote, "Something ignited in my soul, fever, or unremembered wings, and I went my own way deciphering that burning fire, and I wrote the first bare line, pure foolishness, pure wisdom of one who knows nothing. And suddenly I saw the heavens unfasten and open." Gregory Orr writes, "Let's remake the world with words, not frivolously, nor to hide from what we fear, but with a purpose. Let's, as Wordsworth said, remove the dust of custom, so things shine again, each object arrayed in a robe of original light. And then we'll see the world as if for the first time, as once we gazed at the beloved who is gazing at us." Juan Ramon Jimenez writes, "I am not I. I am this one walking beside me, whom I do not see, whom at times I manage to visit, and at other times I forget. The one who remains silent when I talk. The one who forgives sweet when I hate. the one who takes a walk when I am indoors, the one who will remain standing when I die. I shall. This is untitled, and it also is written by Gregory Orr. I know now the beloved has no fixed abode, that each body she inhabits is only a temporary home, that she casts off forms as eagerly as lovers shed clothes. I accept that he is just passing through that flower or that stone, and yet it makes me dizzy, the way he hides in the flow of it, the way she shifts in fluid motions, becoming other things. I want to stop him, if only briefly. I want to lure her to the surface and catch her in this net of words. David White says, above the mountains, the geese turn into the light again, painting their black silhouettes on an open sky. Sometimes everything has to be inscribed across the heavens, so you can find the one line already written inside you. Sometimes it takes a great sky to find that first bright and indescribable wedge of freedom in your heart. Sometimes with the bones of the black sticks left, when the fire has gone out, someone has written something new in the ashes of your life. You are not leaving. Even as the light fades quickly now, you are arriving. It is possible. It is possible, at least, sometimes. It is possible, especially now, to ride a horse inside a prison cell and run away. It is possible for prison walls to disappear, for the cell to become a distant land without frontiers. What did you do with the walls? I gave them back to the rocks. What did you do with the ceiling? I turned it into a saddle. And your chain? I turned it into a pencil. The prison guard got angry. He put an end to the dialogue. He said he didn't care for poetry and bolted the door to my cell. He came back to see me in the morning. He shouted at me, where did all this water come from? I brought it from the Nile. And these trees? From the orchards in Damascus. And this music? From my heartbeat. The prison guard got angry. He put an end to my dialogue. He said he didn't like my poetry and bolted the door to my cell. But he returned in the evening, and he shouted again, where did this moon come from? From the nights in Baghdad. And this wine? From the vineyards in Algiers. And this freedom? From the chain you tied me with last night. The prison guard grew very sad, and he begged me to give him back his freedom. That is called The Prison Cell. It's written by Mahmoud Darwish, translated from the Arabic by Ben Benami. Wow. David White again, he says, above all, be alone with it all, a hiving off, a corner of silence amidst the noise. Refuse to talk, even to yourself, and stay in this place until the current of the story is strong enough to float you out. Ghost then, to where others in this place have come before, under the hazel, by the ruined chapel, below the cave where Coleman slept. Become the source that makes the river flow, and then the sea beyond. Live in this place as you were meant to, and then, surprised by your abilities, become the ancestor of it all, the quiet, robust, and blessed saint that your future happiness will always remember. This is called The Cliffs at Agate Beach. The sediment bottoms of river and sea, shorn and shaped into rock, from silted sandy memory pools of otters and urchins and heron dances, and salmon spawning in silver and pink-fleshed frenzy, and rain dropping dreams on slumbering seals, and worm towers spiring and falling, and scurrying ants carrying seeds hither and thither, flower pollen flung flying and settling, all coalesced as patchwork coverlets upon each epoch's turning, layer upon layer, upturned and upheavaled by colliding plates as earth rolls and wind wails and waves churn the passing of millennia into stratified rock. Gull wings glance upon me sitting here now on this wave-cut bench of shale, my back leaning against this great seawall overlooking the ocean's glistening water coming and going as a shower of rock slivers slide down from the cliff close enough to touch me, reminding me that all is still in flux, and my body will one day be added to this mosaic mix. So while alive, to add song to the solution born of love, formed and formless. So I rise and walk out the reef, to sing a song of love to the turban snails and anemones, and the first tide pool sculpin I see. And they were listening, I could tell, for you know when you're being heard, and they seem to like it. A small pebble, a small agate pebble, shone green in the sun at tide pool's edge, tumbled round and smooth by the tide. I slipped it into my pocket like a love note. I'd read with my fingers again and again until I could recite it by heart. Later, I tossed it back into the sea like a message in a bottle, for someone else to find perhaps many years from now. And when they pick it up, I trust it will have become a singing stone, carrying the very love song they've been waiting to hear, just as it did for me. For that's the way this magic works. I wrote that one. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you like it. Ah, here's Mary Oliver. My work is loving the world. Here the sunflowers, there the hummingbird, equal seekers of sweetness. Here the quickening yeast, there the blue plums, here the clam deep in the speckled sand. Are my boots old? Is my coat torn? Am I no longer young and still not half perfect? Let me keep my mind on what matters, which is my work, which is mostly standing still and learning to be astonished. The phoebe, the delphinium, the sheep in the pasture, and the pasture, which is mostly rejoicing, since all the ingredients are here, which is gratitude, to be given a mind and a heart and these body clothes, a mouth with which to give shouts of joy to the moth and the wren, to the sleepy dug-up clam, telling them all over and over how it is that we live forever. Another by Mary Oliver that is one of my favorites, I'm sure most of you have, who like Mary Oliver have heard it before, Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair, and I'll tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. Here's one by Rilke, from Sonnets to Orpheus. Quiet friend who has come so far, feel how your breathing makes more space around you. Let this darkness be a bell tower and you the bell. As you ring, what batters you becomes your strength. Move back and forth into the change. What is it like, such intensity of pain? If the drink is bitter, turn yourself into wine. in this uncontainable night, be the mystery at the crossroads of your senses, the meaning discovered there. And if the world has ceased to hear you, say to the silent earth, I flow. To the rushing water speak, I am. This is called Lost by David Wagoner. Stand still. The trees ahead and bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here. And you must treat it as a powerful stranger, must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers. I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying, here. No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. This is called The Path. What really needs to be said cannot be spoken except by the sky when it's dark, and all that's left to follow has been left behind. Then the only path is one's own heartbeat and breath made visible as steam from an invisible flame, like bioluminescent water rising in an indigo sea. Each inhalation a prayer, each exhalation the music that gives it wings. I wrote that one. I'm older than midnight now, and soon the footsteps of my breath will leave no tracks in the snow. The wind chimes continue to ring through the darkness and the quickening days, each note a lantern that shines beyond the binds of time. No need for clocks. I've heard a river sing, and flowers speak their poetry no matter whose grave they rest upon. This music lives within me and is really all that's worth saying. The rest are marble statues with broken arms. He loves me, he loves me not, in a field of daisies as vast as the stars. If you have to ask, then do without. Even a Mobius strip will break when the right wave comes along, but not the river, and love songs are all it knows. That's another one of mine. Today, the leaves were speaking in tongues of fire, as leaves do, especially in the fall, mincing no words, twirling their skirts in dancing colors, with light shining through their veins, making their penetrating points with fire in their eyes to the beat of the wind. There are things it is time to leave that no longer serve. Will you let them go? Trust your breath to lead the way away. Like a leaf in the wind, be free of the weighted anchors that keep you at bay. It is autumn. The days grow shorter. They pass so quickly now. Soon it will be time to leave. Could be any time, you know. Are you ready to go? They fluttered and laughed in crimson and orange ribbons of flame. Have you made a fire of your life where children and elders come to laugh and be warmed? Where gypsy clans gather to clap their tambourines and wake slumbering dreamers from their trance? Make the skeletons of the ancestors dance? What sparks of delight will you leave behind when you go? Be ready. Ignite the kindling now. Blow the wind of your soul's knowing into place. Light up the dark recesses and keep the hearth fire burning for all your kin yet to be born after you are gone. And when the autumn breeze blows in the tomorrow, perhaps they will look up and see someone they recognize dancing in the leaves like a bonfire as you do now, and lift the embers to their heart. That's another one I wrote. Doesn't have a title, I don't think. But in the dark.
Something about, are you ready to leave? I think that's the title.
Thank you. I'm open to suggestions. In the dark, a child might ask, what is the world? Just to hear his sister promise an unfinished wing of heaven. Just to hear his brother say, a house within a house. But most of all, to hear his mother answer, one more song, then you go to sleep. How could anyone in that bed guess? The question finds its beginning and the answer long growing inside the one who asked, that restless boy, the night's darling. Later, a man lying awake, he might ask it again, just to hear the silence charge him. This night, arching over your sleepless wondering, this night, the near ground ever reaching out to overreaches, just to remind himself out of what little earth and duration, out of what immense goodbye, each must make a safe place for his heart before so strange and wild a guest as God approaches. That was written by Lee Young Lee, and it's called Nativity.
Did she say the night's darling or the night's starling?
The night's darling.
Okay.
Yes. This is another Rilke from Sonnets to Orpheus. Want the change. Be inspired by the flame where everything shines as it disappears. The artist, when sketching, loves nothing so much as the curve of the body as it turns away. What locks itself in sameness has congealed. Is it safer to be gray and numb? What turns hard becomes rigid and is easily shattered. Pour yourself like a fountain. Flow into the knowledge that what you are seeking finishes often at the start and with ending begins. Every happiness is a child of a separation it did not think it could survive. And Daphne, becoming a laurel, dares you to become the wind. Speaking of wind, this is called Wind in the Desert. Nothing is superfluous in the desert. The essential thrives with an intelligence that knows how to find water, scarce though it may be, and takes no more than it needs. Calling my heart back to itself between galaxies and granite and the rumblings of the earth, I walked upon this ancient seafloor to listen to the wind, to gaze into the heart of flowers, to confer with the cactus about thorns, to see what a lizard sees, to listen to the stories the rocks tell, to invite surprise to emerge from its burrow and prance like a prairie dog again. Without artificial lights to interfere, the singing of the stars is unmuffled. Even the music from faraway Andromeda tingles the skin. The Big Dipper ladles dreams into a silver trough, large enough to quench even the deepest thirst. Natural rhythm is restored. Equality is a given. Every cactus wears a diadem of flowers and is sovereign where it stands, bowing to no one but the sun. The wind blows in great gusts, carrying ocean memories across the desert. The creosote dances in waves of yellow flowers, the mimulus ripple like a watercolor, brushed in crimson across the sand. The choya stands staunch and steady as a sea stack, not wavering. It knows how to survive, and its flowers glow with this knowledge. Death has become a sprinter, running in circles around me with greater frequency, winking around every turn. It could be any time that we link arms and he escorts me off stage. Tornadoes twisting in the east, storms flooding in the south, ice caps melting in the north, faults shaking in the west, fires raging in the center, the black-gutted poison of greed spewing into the gulf, radiation seeping from the breech cores of reactors, carried by the wind to where I'm sitting now, breathing it all in. How do I make wine out of the madness even still? Oh, dear earth, dear soul, even still. The wind carries secrets that it shares in confidences with those who listen. Listening, the wind fingered my hair like a lover, and I took a deep breath. Wind, what are you saying? No words. Just blowing away sorrows and softening the sharp edges that cut and divide. It's spring in the desert. I've come to pollinate the flowers. Look at them. Have you ever seen anything more lovely than these dreams in bloom? You needn't be so strong all the time. Even in your seeming aloneness, I never forget you for even an instant. You can relax into not knowing, and I will catch you in my arms. Sing at dusk with the whippoorwill, and at dawn with the wren. Sing the songs that bubble up from the aquifer. The wine is brewing. Nothing is superfluous in the desert. I wrote that one.
I have a question.
Question? Yes.
I just really like that. What a question.
I am so glad.
That was really, I mean, the way you took us up into the galaxy and down into the cactus, I mean, I was just really going along with that ride. That was really.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
I need a sip of my warm water. When Lorenz Vanderpost one night in the Kalahari Desert told the bushmen he couldn't hear the stars singing, they didn't believe him. They looked at him in disbelief. They examined his face to see if he was joking. Then two of those small men who plant nothing, who have almost nothing to hunt, who live on almost nothing and with no one but themselves, led him away from the crackling thorn scrub fire and stood with him under the night sky and listened. One of them whispered, "Do you not hear them now?" And Vanderpost listened, not wanting to disbelieve, but had to answer, "No." They led him back to the dim circle of firelight like a sick man and told him they were terribly sorry. And he felt even sorrier for himself and blamed his ancestors for their strange loss of hearing, which was his loss now. On some still nights, on some clear nights when nearby houses have turned off their televisions, when the traffic dwindles, when through streets are between sirens and the jets overhead are between crossings, when the wind is hanging fire in the fir trees and the long-eared owl in the neighboring grove between calls is regarding his own darkness, I look up at the stars again as I first did to school myself in the names of constellations, and I remember my first sense of their terrible distance. I can still hear what I thought at the edge of silence, where the inside jokes of my heartbeat, my arterial traffic, the sea above high sea of my inner ear, myself tunelessly humming. But now I know what they are, my fair share of the music of the spheres and clusters of ripening stars, of the songs from the throats of the old gods, still tending tone-deaf creatures through their exiles in the desert.
Wow.
That's written by David Wagoner. It's called The Silence of the Stars.
Who's the man at the beginning that's mentioned that can't hear?
Lorenz Vanderpost. Oh, he was an anthropologist who lived with the Bush people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And praying mantises were very significant to him. But that's a whole other story. This is called Murmuration of Starlings. Does everyone know what a murmuration of starlings? Okay, good. Exactly. Today they came again, the dark-winged gypsies, pouring over the hills in all directions, hearing dusk's call to dance. They glided in as speckled gusts of wind, joining, parting, joining again, then swirled together en masse across the sky, moving as both a particle and a wave like light. They wove the air into a tapestry of wings like light. They painted the air with each brushstroke of wing in great sweeping spirals of synchronized movement, bursting forth and resolving. No leader to point the way, they listened to each other and the current that flows within, moving as one, never missing a beat. With acrobatic grace they spun and twirled, swinging on aerial trapeze without strings, above the rolling ridge, horizon to horizon, as the trees in audience spotted from below. Coiling and uncoiling, a nebula sung into being out of interstellar beaks and wings, now a galaxy of starlings, shining upon the pink and lavender space of an evening, as the sun set off to light the other side of the world. As I watched them, formed out of stardust myself, I considered how foolish it is to think we ever stand alone. Feel the wind of grace encircling you now, they called out to me. The cloak of separation fell from my shoulders to the ground. Unfurl your sacred longing like wings. In celebration of the present, ride the waves of joy, unfolding in reunion as we fly together across the sky. This is the way ice melts and how water quenches thirst. The starlings fly like this at dusk. That's one I wrote. I went out to the hazelwood. Oh, this is one that most of you will probably be familiar with as well, a wonderful, wonderful one by William Butler Yeats. I went out to the hazelwood because a fire was in my head, and cut and peeled a hazel wand and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing and moth-like stars were flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. When I had laid it on the floor, I went to blow the fire aflame, but something rustled on the floor, and someone called me by my name. It had become a glimmering girl with apple blossoms in her hair, who called me by my name and ran and faded through the brightening air. Though I am old with wandering through hollow lands and hilly lands, I will find out where she has gone and kiss her lips and take her hands and walk among long dappled grass and pluck till time and times are done the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun. William Butler Yeats, and it's called The Song of Wandering Angus.
When did he live?
1800s, that transition.
Early 20th century.
Sorry about that. I've got so many poets floating around in my mind right now that time has become far more illusory than it ought to for answering questions such as that. No, I appreciate it. All right, while we're in the enchanted realm, here is another one. Called the Elfin Artist. In a glade of an elfin forest, when Sussex was Eden new, I came on an elfish artist and watched as his picture grew. A harebell nodded beside him, and he dipped his brush in the dew. And it might be the wild thyme about him that shone in that dark strange ring, but his brushes were bees' antennae, and his knife was a wasp's blue sting. And his gorgeous, exquisite palette was a butterfly's fan-shaped wing. And he mingled its powdery colors and painted the lights that pass on a beautiful cobweb canvas that gleamed like a magic glass and bloomed like a banner of elfland between two blades of grass. till it shone like an angel's feather, with sky-born opal and rose, and gold at the foot of the rainbow, and colors that no man knows. And I laughed in that sweet May weather because of the themes he chose. For he painted the things that matter, the tints that we all pass by, like the little blue wreaths of incense that the wild thyme breathes to the sky, or the first white bud on the hawthorn, or the light in a blackbird's eye, or the shadows on soft white cloud peaks that caroling skylarks throw, dark dots on the slumbering splendor that under their wild wings flow, wee shadows like violets trembling on the unseen breasts of snow, with petals too lovely for color that shake to their rapturous wings and grow as the bird draws nigh them and dies as he mounts and sings. Ah, only those exquisite brushes could paint these marvelous things. That's Alfred Noyes.
Alfred who?
Alfred Noyes. He wrote The Highwayman. N-O-Y-E-S. All right, this one calls for some audience participation at the very end. You'll know what you're supposed to do at the end, and it's optional, of course. Breath of the moon ignites the air, scent ripe as a silver plum. Rising over the ridge, the coyotes howl to announce that the queen has come. Like a radiant jewel, she illumines the sky, bathing the hills below, and opens the portals for dreams to fly and let their wild wings flow. From mortal coil, unbound, set free, soaring again into mystery. Are you a burdened traveler under gravity's spell? Walk then in her light and be made well. Like a silver salmon who long has roamed, now smells the stream and knows she's home. Into the moonlight stream now dive, immerse yourself and emerge alive, and your inner voice, silent so long, will rise up and join the coyote's song. Ow! All right, that's called Harvest Moonrise. I wrote that. And it was inspired by the very event and the coyotes who were howling, and I came back from my walk and I went, and it just came to me. This is called Monet Refuses the Operation. It's by Liesel Mueller. Doctor, you say there are no halos around the streetlights in Paris, and what I see is an aberration caused by old age, an affliction. I tell you, it has taken me all my life to arrive at the vision of gas lamps as angels, to soften and blur and finally banish the edges you regret I don't see, to learn that the line I called the horizon does not exist, and sky and water so long apart are the same state of being. 54 years before I could see Rouen Cathedral is built of parallel shafts of sun, and now you want to restore my youthful errors, fixed notions of top and bottom, the illusion of three-dimensional space, wisteria separate from the bridge it covers? What can I say to convince you? The Houses of Parliament dissolve night after night to become the fluid dream of the Thames. I will not return to a universe of objects that don't know each other, as if islands were not the lost children of one great continent. The world is flux, and light becomes what it touches, becomes water, lilies on water, above and below water becomes lilac and mauve and yellow, and white and cerulean lamps, small fists passing sunlight so quickly to one another that it would take long streaming hair inside my brush to catch it, to paint the speed of light. Our weighted shapes, these verticals, burn to mix with air and change our bones, skin, clothes to gases, doctor. If only you could see how heaven pulls earth into its arms and how infinitely the heart expands to claim this world, blue vapor without end.
You wrote that?
No, that was written by Lizelle Mueller,
yes.
And it's called Monet Refuses the Operation.
Okay.
I wish I could take credit for that. I love that.
Great.
This is called Wage Peace, and it's written by Judith Hill. Wage peace with your breath. Breathe in firemen and rubble. Breathe out whole buildings and flocks of red-winged blackbirds. Breathe in terrorists and breathe out sleeping children and fresh-mown fields. Breathe in confusion and breathe out maple trees. Breathe in the fallen and breathe out lifelong friendships intact. Wage peace with your listening, hearing sirens pray loud. Remember your tools, flower seeds, clothespins, clean rivers, make soup. Play music. Memorize the word for thank you in three languages. Learn to knit and make a hat. Think of chaos as dancing raspberries. Imagine grief as the outbreath of beauty or the gesture of fish. Swim for the other side. Wage peace. Never has the world seemed so fresh and precious. Have a cup of tea and rejoice. As if armistice has already arrived. Celebrate today. This is a poem from 100 BC. And it was found in a manuscript in the Qumran or Dead Sea community. And it was translated from the Hebrew by A.M. Haberman. It's called A Blessing of Lucid Fire and Secret Grace. May the being of the universe breathe into you the light of blessing and ripeness, the fulfillment of health and balance. May it protect you from distractions brittle and bent with a sphere of lucid fire. May it enlighten the heart of your passion with the contemplation of living energy. May it uncover the hidden strength within you, insight gathered from the eternal now. And may it show you its face of secret grace and silent refuge in a communion of deep peace. 100 BC. Blessed ancestors. This one is just for fun. If your dancing shoes are too tight, take them off. Run barefoot out the door and leave them for the mice nibbling on the moon. If the dance floor is too crowded, wrap your arms around the next person you see and together watch the walls of the room dissolve. If it's too cold outside, light a fire and dance to the crackle of the flames. If no one else is around, tap your feet, clap your hands, and invite yourself to dance. Then say, I thought you'd never ask. I wrote that one.
Wow.
All right, so in addition to this wonderful selection of poems, which I hope you've enjoyed, I also have a book that I published last year called The Infinite Song. And it's an allegorical creation myth story poem written for kids ages 9 to 99, so that includes most of us here, and I would like to share it too. It's not very long, and I illustrated it as well, and for this I need to request the participation of a page turner, for which this fine gentleman has agreed in advance. Oh, but you know what, before he comes up, I'm going to read you the preface. The formation of the universe in the Big Bang, about 14 billion years ago, when all the matter of space-time, matter and energy of space-time, was contained in a single point, and its subsequent expansion in every direction with nebulae, galaxies, and eventually our own solar system and beautiful planet coming into being staggers my mind. I feel great awe at the immensity and beauty of it all. The fact that life managed to evolve on Earth from the earliest single-celled microbes who emerged from the primordial soup into the diversity of complex life forms that we see today is equally amazing. Human consciousness is at a threshold now in our continuing evolution, where we are being encouraged to live together as brothers and sisters in the spirit of kinship and to serve as loving guardians of all species and the environment upon which we all depend. There is a spirit that infuses life, a deep wisdom to nature that is profound. We often forget to live in alignment with this deeper intelligence that sustains life, that flows through us all, and work together lovingly in the spirit of cooperation rather than succumbing to power struggles that ensue from egoic competition and the short-sighted, unsustainable exploitation of limited resources. Hence, the world today is out of balance. The world could be such a beautiful place if we choose to live together in the awareness of being a global family and honor the rights of nature as well. Rivers, mountains, ocean, clouds, insects, frogs, polar bears and penguins, wolves and whales, earthworms and eagles, elephants and owls, manatees and monkeys are all our kin and merit our support. The beginning of this poem is modeled after the Genesis story, but is intended to be read as an allegory. It is my hope that it may inspire us to remember who we truly are. May we continue to evolve and learn to live in peace and harmony within ourselves, with each other, and with greater reverence for our precious Earth, all her denizens, and the universe, of which we are a tiny but relevant part. May we walk in beauty and heal the Earth with love. And the poem that follows is a rhyming poem. And the dedication is to the spirit that moves in all things and to the awakened heart in each of us. Thank you, good sir.
Sure.
All right.
You need a chair?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
So here, why don't you stand there? Okay. Out of the blackness of night, a legend took flight, a story as old as the day, about how it is we ever came here to be, to act out the roles that we play. While sitting alone on her heavenly throne, the maker of all made a plan, sang she to herself, for there was no one else. The magic of being is really worth seeing. Let there be light so there can be sight. And creating the sun said, 'Tis nice what I've done, but how much more fun if there were more than just one to behold the beauty of its creation. So with her great might, she condensed the light and held it as one might hold clay. And from her infinite mind, began to unwind images with which to play. So she molded the planets and gracefully strung them across the heavens, and Earth was among them. And she set them to spinning, marking the beginning of what we have come to call time. And being quite inventive, with boundless incentive, she made mountains and rivers and trees. And gazing upon them, it wasn't too long when she added the flowers, the birds, and the bees. And lions and tigers and hippos and apes and deer and raccoon all soon took their shapes. Air breathers on land, fish in the sea, it all was designed quite perfectly. Dolphins and whales now in water abide, though land was where they once too did reside. Not being one to say quits, she gathered her wits and made unicorns, fairies and elves, and dragons and trolls, and quite a few souls we haven't got names for yet. And then came the seasons, for very good reasons. If it were not for her art, we couldn't tell them apart. It would all stay the same, which would be quite a shame, for we'd get rather bored, having nothing new to look towards. So the creatures all roamed what now is their home, and mated and made many more. It's all very good, and works as it should, but still there is one I haven't yet done. Ah, yes, said she, a model of me. And so she illumined a creature called human, and loved him so well that she gave him dominion over birds of the air and fish of the sea, and land dwellers too, where'er they be, to love and revere compassionately, as steward of life's great panoply, that all might live wild and free in ever unfolding diversity. May to walk erect, so in effect, to unite as one, earth and heaven, being a bridge between the seen and unseen. One gift more she gave to man, a magnum opus of her divine plan, a mind and heart that has free will to be able to choose between good or ill, so the love that was given in making creation could be ever renewed in the celebration that the love be returned by man's own volition, for it's love given freely that makes life worth the living. And for countless ages, it's gone on and on, this fanciful dance that sweeps us along. But man's magical eyes have grown dimmer and dimmer, till he sees only the surface and fails to remember that his true nature is light, 'tis all but a vision of the one limitless mind who is beyond division. So he plays out his life, but is riddled by strife, for he has a great longing for a sense of belonging, and he thinks that the fullness he yearns for inside can be found in possessing ever more that's outside. So he reels and he raves and gets sadder and sadder, for deep in his heart he knows something's the matter. In a struggle for power he fights with his brothers, but what will fulfill him can't be gotten from others. Fame, fortune, and power will all come to naught. The real treasure we seek cannot be bought. Our lives are as bubbles that float on a sea, and no matter their form here, will pop ultimately. We're all in this together, and need only remember that real as it seems, it's all but a dream spun on the loom of one's imaginings. One constant thread runs through us all, he, she, or it, gigantic or small. Our minds are our vessels, dreams stuff the sea. To ride on the waves harmoniously is our true purpose in being here. No less will suffice. To let go and let goddess is the wisest advice. And if we'd open our eyes, we'd be quite surprised at the beauty that's here to behold, and all the confusion we'd see as illusion, and love in profusion would then unfold. Sublime divine laughter is what would come after, to think we'd forgotten so long. Each moment holds grace for our hearts to embrace as we sing in the infinite song. That's that book. Well,
nice page turner.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, that was,
thank you.
That was five, yes, and a hand for the page turner, please.
What a great laugh.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the evening, and these books are being carried by many rivers, bless their dear hearts, so if you would like to take one home, you were invited to do so, and the illustrations, as you could see, are quite lovely, so children like them very much for the pictures alone. Even the young ones who are too young to really understand the message like it for the pictures. So again, thank you so much for coming. I hope you enjoyed the evening, and many blessings.
Thank you on behalf of Many Rivers very much. And I want to point out, as is our custom, we have a donation bowl over on the counter. We encourage you to contribute to it, which we share with our speakers, and half we retain for maintenance of this space for future such events. We also have in front of that bowl another bowl, and there are donations to you from our speaker, poetic donations, if you will, to you, which you are encouraged to take with you tonight. Thank you so much for coming, and have I forgotten anything?
And don't forget she has CDs for
sale.
Oh, and we have CDs. Yeah, in addition to the books here, there's also these CDs.
Yes, but I managed to forget to bring any more than these two with me.
Ah, c'est la vie. But no doubt you can circulate contact information to people.
If you would like to get one, see me afterwards, and I'd be happy to let you know how to
order one.